Won't some get some?
How about those friggin' pirates?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates because, of course, they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
This is a first down. Pirates.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
You live with Omaha. I can promise you that.
Painted purple all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. We're talking East Carolina football tonight. Over the last couple weeks, we've had a couple of Pirates sign with the UFL. It's Arlington Renegades and four Pirates in total with the Renegades that will get cranked up here in the next couple months. But right now, first, we are joined by former East Carolina wide receiver Isaiah Winstead. Zay, how are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing well. Appreciate your time. And first of all, congratulations on signing with the Arlington Renegades. And this year, you spent a large percentage of the year, as an undrafted free agent with the San Francisco 49ers. Obviously, the 49ers playing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So tell us about what that experience was like on the practice squad out there in San Francisco, with the likes of Brock Purdy, Deebo Samuel, et cetera.
It was a great experience. Just being able to learn from those guys and, being able to see why they are the way they are, how they become great, their everyday routines and stuff, like Christian McCaffrey and his routines in the facility by six every day and stuff like that. Just taking stuff from them, like Fred Warner, all those guys, pulling stuff from them, trying to find my own routine. Because, as a rookie, you're trying to find, trying to find yourself. You're trying to find your routine and you're trying to get to that level that they at. So, that's just really what it was, a good learning experience. And, and that's about it, really. Just learning the ways, learning the in and outs and stuff like that.
Isaiah, obviously, you talk about San Francisco, but, we mentioned you're going to be with the Arlington Renegades of the UFL. If people don't know what the UFL is, it's the merger of the USFL and the XFL. Holt Naylor's Noah, who's going to be joining us here in a little bit, is also on the team. You got four former Pirates all with the Renegades. Talk about your excitement level for the new league and playing for Bob Stoops. I'm sure you followed Coach Stoops as a young football fan growing up. So talk about playing for a legend like Bob Stoops.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Just to have this opportunity and stuff like that. Even in the 49ers, just playing with those guys, those big time names and stuff like that. So I'm kind of familiar with big time names now, but it's crazy to be able to have that opportunity. It's a blessing.
Speak of having that opportunity, the opportunity that you had that you were just discussing a little with the San Francisco 49ers, when we had Johnny Gardner, one of our loyal viewers and listeners, chime in earlier, and he actually texted me this question, just saying, growing up, obviously, I'm sure you had those receivers that you looked up to, you admired their abilities. So who were some of those guys? And now that you have the opportunity to play professional football, elaborate a little bit more on what an awesome opportunity and experience it's been for you.
Like, who did I look up to, like, growing up?
Yeah, I mean, just a receiver or a few that you admired their abilities. Maybe, obviously, you wanted to be true to yourself, but, you know, you admired, you know, whether it be the likes of a Randy Moss or whoever.
For sure, Randy Moss. That's who really I wanted to mold my game after coming up. You know, that's coming up, I had liked the Patriots for that only reason, because Randy Moss is my favorite receiver. Calvin Johnson, Chad Johnson, all those type guys are, you know, the bigger receivers that, you know, they can move and showcase their ability. Julio Jones and all those type of receivers and stuff like that. And now that I got a chance to play professional football and, you know, like, really know more of the game and stuff, like, I kind of like see myself like, you know, like a Keenan Allen and stuff like that, you know, mold my game after what he can do and like how his size and how he can run routes and his ability to move and stuff like that. So, yeah.
So with that opportunity that you had in San Francisco, obviously I know, as you've said, you grew tremendously from that and learning the ropes of professional football. You know, now, since signing with the Renegades, have you had some conversations with Holton Ahlers and then, you know, maybe some other guys in addition to obviously Noah that we were just speaking with?
Yeah, I did. I wasn't even going to do the XFL or the UFL. I wasn't even going to do it at first, but I ended up changing my mind, you know, weighing out the options and stuff like that. But before then, you know, Holden had he had texted me or he had called me and was like, if you end up doing the XFL, like, don't sign with nobody else. Like, you know, sign with us. And he was like, you know, I'm gonna tell the GM about you and all that stuff. So, because I don't think anybody knew like that I was even gonna be like trying to do the XFL. So, but after that, you know, that's when teams started reaching out and Holden was just like, don't sign with nobody else. He wanted me back on the team with him.
I may be mistaken with this, but after you were let go by San Francisco, discuss your options, because I want to say I heard something about the Atlanta Falcons, but I may be wrong there.
Yeah, I had to work out with the Falcons. I was on the list for the future reserve. And I mean, that was about it by the time I made the decision. You know, I made the decision like kind of like probably like a week after that workout. I made the decision like I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, instead of waiting on the Falcons or waiting on a, you know, future reserve where only one team, you know, that one team is all, you know, if I sign with them, only basically that's the only team that's seeing me. Instead of doing that, I could just go to the UFL, like really show like that I belong and get more film and then be able to be evaluated by all 32 teams. So, yeah.
How close of a working relationship, if you know this, does the UFL and the NFL have with each other? Obviously, everybody who's going to be playing in the UFL, their goal is to play in the NFL. Do you know how closely the two leagues are working together, if at all?
I have no clue at all. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Okay. I hope they working together, but I don't know. I don't know.
At the very least, I'm sure they will be evaluating film.
Yeah, that for sure. That for sure. But as far as anything else, I don't really know.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Kyle, I'll see if I can retrieve some of that information. I'm pretty sure it's a very close relationship that the UFL has with the NFL, but not 100% on that. But Zay, one of the things that, you know, Holton Ahlers said on his show, the Holton Ahlers show, in the last few weeks, is that he had some interest and opportunities with the CFL? Is that something you considered at all, or was it all, was it more just, you know, NFL, UFL?
Yeah, I did consider that at a point in time. I had a team that hit me up, the Toronto Argos. I think they won like the championship, but they had contacted me and was like, you know, I had an opportunity there as well. But, you know, I didn't. I'd rather have went the UFL route because of the timeline, you know, because it ends like, if you go to the championship or whatever, it ends like in June, maybe.
Right.
And the UFL ends like, I mean, and the CFL ends like way later than that. So, you know, I could still play in the UFL and still be on the team all in this same year. So that's why I chose that route.
That was part of the reasoning that Holton gave as well.
Yeah. Definitely.
Kyle, did you have something?
No, I was just going to talk about the runtime of the CFL season. I think it's from June until early November, I think, the championship game.
And then obviously, Tyler Snead was already exiting the program when Zay arrived, but you're certainly aware of the name. Snead did big things up there this year, and there have been a lot of Pirates, you know, be it skill positions or linemen, that have really excelled in the CFL down through the years.
Yeah, definitely. I was hearing about him when I was coming in, and I had seen when he had declared for the draft and stuff. You know, I was keeping up with him in preseason and stuff like that. But and I was seeing like the stuff he was doing in the CFL as well. And that's good. I don't really know him that much, so I probably seen him like, I think he came to like one game while I was there. Probably like,
right.
Yeah, he probably came to like one game, and I seen him there, but I don't really know beyond that.
Zay had one season at East Carolina. We went to a bowl game, won 8 games. So your one season was a good one. What was your time like 1 year here at East Carolina? Did you enjoy it? How did it compare to your experience at Toledo?
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. You know, the hospitality, how they treated me, you know, even from my official visit, you know, and they just made me a priority and just made my official visit important, like they really wanted me there, you know. That's why I chose ECU over Power 5 schools, you know, and Holton hitting me up all the time and telling me, you know, what we gonna do and all that stuff. So I definitely enjoyed that journey, and it was like, and on top of all that stuff, you know, I actually got a chance to showcase my abilities a little bit. So that put the icing on the cake, you know, as compared to Toledo, you know, I didn't really get that much of an opportunity to do that.
What if there's one game that stands out to you during your time at East Carolina, what would it be?
It's between Navy and Memphis.
Back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, Memphis. I think Memphis had like 132 yards in the first half and a touchdown, 7 catches. And then Navy, I had 11 for like 48. And that was like close to like my career high. So, you know, those definitely stood out. If we're talking about like personal wise, like just personal stuff, like as far as
back to back weeks, but I'm getting my seasons mixed up. That was the previous season. The Navy games and the Memphis games last year, 2 years ago, were not back to back weeks.
Maybe it was like
September and Memphis was in October. Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and go with that Memphis game because I like the results of that one better.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Memphis and UCF were back to back.
Yeah. I was thinking of the previous year, Bubba, when we played Memphis and Navy back to back weeks.
And it was like homecoming, right? Memphis is homecoming, right?
That sounds right.
I think it was homecoming. Yeah.
That sounds correct because we had the old.
It was homecoming. It was homecoming. Graphics. It was homecoming, Bubba, because Matt was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably, that might have been my favorite game of the year.
Yeah, was that triple overtime, quadruple overtime? What was that? I'm trying to remember.
I think it was triple.
I think it was three of them.
I just remember Keaton making play after play.
Yeah, every time.
It was crazy. I had seen a stat on like Twitter after the game. I had went for like 132 in the first half, and Keaton had like probably like maybe like 15 rushing yards, and then he ended with 156. So I'm like, yeah, doing crazy.
Speaking of Keaton, talk about seeing what he did this year. Unfortunately, suffered the ACL injury against the Jags down in Jacksonville. You know, kind of ironically, Zay Jones, former East Carolina wide receiver, got hurt in the same game. But you had Keaton averaging between 8 and 8.5 yards per carry. And granted, it's not an abundance of carries, but I don't care. Eight to 8.5 yards per carry is still 8 to 8.5 yards per carry. That's just remarkable. Because for reference, on significantly more carries, but you had Chris Johnson in his 2,000 yard season. I think it was about 5.3, 5.5 yards per carry.
Keaton, that was. That definitely was the best running back I've ever played with. And he was my favorite running back. I like blocking for him because all I had to do was block for like a half a second. I touched the dude and he already gone for a touchdown. So, you know, it was exciting playing with him, man. He can make a play at any given time, you know.
Another guy you played with is – CJ Johnson. It was great to see CJ. I think when he signed with DC.
Yeah, definitely. He had reached out to me when he had found out I was going to the USL and stuff like that. You know, I still keep in contact with CJ. I hope you do good. I hope you do good.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Oh, no, I was good. You were talking about Keaton just momentarily, and it really don't matter, because his free agent contract worked out and, did well with the Ravens up until his injury this year. But, Zay, I know you were more worried about yourself during the draft, but were you surprised when Keaton didn't get drafted? I was shocked.
Yeah, definitely. He ran a 4.3 at the combine. He ran a 4.3, and he had, like 1,500 yards. He had, like, 15 touchdowns. He was, like, you know, like, that didn't even make sense to me. Like, I don't know what they needed to see or, like, why anybody was taking over him. But, you know, he proved the doubters wrong and, you know, end up getting a starting job after being an undrafted free agent. That's not no easy task. So, you know, I definitely was surprised there. Definitely.
Zay, before we wrap this up, I'm here in just a moment. Well, we'll bring in Noah Henderson, your former teammate, and is backstage. He's going to be your teammate once again with the Arlington Renegades, as we've already mentioned. But now we'd like to do something, you know, very quickly. Then we call the 2-minute drill, kind of a lightning round of questions. One of these has already been asked.
What do you think you are, Stevie Fly there, Abbo?
Yeah. It's still in a page from Stevie Fly's book. Favorite NFL team? This is obviously during your childhood. During my childhood,
the Patriots.
Favorite player?
Randy Moss.
Favorite football movie?
The Longest Yard.
Favorite
hobby? Wait. Which version? The Adam Sandler version or the Burt Reynolds version?
The Adam Sandler version.
Okay, all right. You probably never seen the Burt Reynolds version.
I've never seen that version.
Yeah, you got to see it.
Burt Reynolds. Who's Burt Reynolds?
Well, he's actually in the Adam Sandler version. He's the older guy in the movie.
Yeah. I actually have that on one DVD. Somebody got it for me. I don't think I've ever opened it. I need to watch it.
The original version with Burt?
Well, I've seen both, but when somebody gifted the DVD to me, that had both versions. I haven't opened it.
Gotcha.
But favorite hobby outside of football?
Bowling.
Favorite place to eat in Greenville?
and Greenville. Sup, dog?
Three places you've never been that you'd love to go traveling.
Greece, Tokyo, and Greece, Tokyo, Hawaii.
I'm gonna hit him with one, Bubba. Give me your three favorite music artists.
Three favorite music artists. Lil Papa, he's an artist from Jacksonville, Florida. Kodak Black. And I'm gonna say NBA YoungBoy.
Okay.
Favorite food.
I don't think I got one.
You got a favorite kind of food, like Mexican, Chinese?
I don't like Chinese.
You don't like Chinese?
Nah, I don't eat Chinese at all.
I ain't gonna ask why.
Chinese, Japanese, none of that.
Really?
I don't even like hibachi.
Damn, man. Some hibachi steak? How can you go wrong with that?
I don't like hibachi.
Okay.
Mexican might be my favorite type of food.
What about Asian girls? You like Asian girls?
Trying to get the man in trouble.
I don't know what his relationship status is.
What motivates you the most?
Asian girls.
What motivates me the most? My family. Like, you know, my childhood, you know, how I came up and, you know, how things was and, you know, grew up rough and stuff like that. So that just gave me motivation to, you know, to get up out of that situation and, you know, get my people out of that situation as well and make them proud and stuff like that. And my son, of course.
Right. And lastly, do you have a favorite quote that you strive to live by?
A favorite quote. That's a tough one. Nah, I don't got a favorite quote. I got a favorite, like Eric Thomas, you know, just like, that's who I listen to, like for motivational videos and Inky Johnson and stuff like that, but I don't have like any.
Yeah, that's any a great one. Definitely follow him on X and then also watch, you know, a lot of his stuff on YouTube, and, you know, down through the years have definitely showed a lot of his videos to teams I've coached.
Yeah, I got a chance. Very proud of me.
Sorry, go ahead.
I said I got a chance to meet both of them, Inky Johnson and Eric Thomas.
Awesome. Where do you get a chance to meet Inky? Obviously, he played at Tennessee back in the day, and then, where do you have a chance to hear him speak or meet him?
Toledo. They had brought them in. They had brought them in to speak. I got a chance to meet him.
Gotcha. Yeah, had the chance on the way back from the Michigan game this year. My parents and I stopped there and checked out the Toledo Stadium and campus. Pretty nice.
Yeah, the glass bowl. Yeah, that's cool.
Yep, the glass bowl.
Yeah. I seen Mike Tyson, too, when I was training at XPE for the
– Yeah, I remember hearing you say that down in Florida. Yeah.
So you had to meet Tyson. What was that like?
It was crazy. Like, they just was like, you know, I mean, XPE got – you know, everybody will come in there. But, you know, I didn't really know that. It was just like, you know, that's Mike Tyson. I'm like, well, you know, I'm thinking they playing. Like, I look over, you see the tattoo, all that. I'm like, that's crazy. I got to go get a picture. So, you know, I got a picture, and he just, you know, was very, like, humble, soft-spoken and stuff like that, you know.
Tyson's an interesting guy. He's somebody that, you know, over the year, one time, you know, beloved, and then he went through a period where he was kind of very hated, and now he's kind of at a point in his life where I think most people like him. You know, he seems to be kind of chill. He's kind of become like old hippie in his old years here. But Tyson, you know, glad to see him. See him to be in a good mental place these days.
Yeah, definitely. He just, you know, I think he was about to probably through boxing, like guess staying in shape and stuff like that. And, but yeah, he won't really. He was very like soft spoken and stuff like that. Got a picture with him, and you know.
Who's your favorite athlete, non football? You know, we were talking about Tyson, so that kind of makes me think. Who is there any athletes you looked up to? You know, or just favorite athletes from other sports that stick out to you either now or when you were growing up?
My favorite, Anthony Edwards, like, that's like my favorite, you know, that's my favorite basketball player.
Okay.
I just started, I don't really watch basketball that much, but I watch it. Like, I used to play basketball and stuff like that. So, but Anthony Edwards, like, I like him a lot. Like, I just like, you know, I like his personality, how he played basketball, all that stuff. That's like my favorite athlete outside of football.
Gotcha.
I've seen a lot of bad basketball this year, Zay. I've been to 3 or 4 Hornets games.
Oh yeah,
it's brutal. They the Pistons have won what 5 or 6 games, and 2 were against Charlotte.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, that's terrible. That's not a game you want to go to if you're looking for excitement.
Dirt cheap prices.
Yeah, what, about $20?
Yeah, or less. So there's some I use the TickPick app, and you know, having purchased tickets on there a time or two, you know, I've gotten them for as low as, you know, $10.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, we had I don't know if we had a bye week, or I think we had a bye week. I went to LA and watched the Pelicans play Zion Williamson. I forget who they played against, but that was good. That was my first time watching them play.
Zay, we appreciate a half hour of your time tonight. Definitely, we'll be keeping up with you this spring and how you're doing, and with all the other Pirates out there with the Arlington Renegades. And tell folks how they can follow you on social media.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all for having me, man.
So,
you have any social media you want to promote, Isaiah?
Oh, I ain't even hear that part. I mean, you can follow me on Instagram, ZayTZayTI99Y_. That's all my social media.
There you go.
Thanks so much. Best of luck with the Renegades. I hope you and Holton connect for a lot of yards and touchdowns, and we'll stay in touch.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. That is former East Carolina wide receiver Zay Winstead. He, Holton Ahlers, Garrett McGinn, and Noah Henderson will be with the Arlington Renegades. And right now, let's bring in the Pirates' former offensive tackle. Noah, how are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
Doing well. We appreciate your patience and appreciate you coming on tonight. Obviously, this is the first time we've had you on the show. And with that being the case, and before we dive into the here and now, let's talk about your path to East Carolina, coming out of Bennettsville, South Carolina, Marlboro County High School. I know we were discussing before we went live, how you had the opportunity to be coached by, or at least he was on that staff. East Carolina great wide receiver Mitchell Galloway.
My path's a little different than most. I only played football my last 2 years of high school. Was a military kid, so moved around a lot. Made a decision my 10th grade summer. I was like, I just don't want to move anymore. I had a conversation with my mom. I was like, I want to go back across to the States, because I was living overseas in the Middle East at the time. And I was like, hey, I want to go home. I want to go, just be a regular kid for my last 2 years of high school. And my first day playing high school football was the first day of my junior year. And, from there, by the third week, I was starting on the offensive line. My senior year, I was starting both sides of the ball. And, it kind of just started rolling from there.
No, you think you only played 2 years of high school football. I'm assuming you played peewee football, middle school football before that.
I played when I was younger. I lived in the Virginia area, the Hampton Roads area. I played, yeah, up until I was about probably like 11, 12.
Oh, wow. So you had that long of a gap. So.
I missed a big gap of, like, you know, yeah, important football.
Wow. So how did you make up for that? You know, just being a natural athlete. I mean, how you know, coming in 11th grade, you were, you know, starting in your, as a senior, you know, get drafted to play, you know, or get drafted. Yeah. You get a scholarship to play FBS college football. How did that happen? How did you, you know, catch up that fast?
You know, just being a natural athlete, I played everything in high school, baseball, basketball, and football, started in everything. But yeah, just natural athlete and size, being somebody bigger for my size, but, you know, being agile with it. And I catch on to the game quick. And, you know, I play with a different tenacity. So it really came natural to me. And I just took it and I was like, hey, this is something I can be good at. And I just ran with it.
Let me ask you something. You said you catch on to the game fast. You lived all over. How many different places have you lived?
Countries-wise, I've lived permanently in three countries. You have, I was born in Iceland. Came to America, of course. And I lived in the Middle East for almost 5 years.
You speak any other languages?
No, but I can't speak Arabic, but I can understand a good bit of it. I can have a small dialect.
I imagine that diversity in cultures and people growing up in that environment, you mentioned being able to catch on fast, you know, probably helped your ability to catch on things fast.
Most definitely.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Talk about this. So what was it like? I don't want to diverge from football, but what was it like living in the Middle East?
Oh, I loved it. Honestly, if I could go back, you know, and just go back to living that life, I would. It's nothing what people think at all. I lived in a country called Bahrain. It's one of the most wealthiest countries in the world. A lot of oil, money, a lot of what they've got going on over there. And it's very westernized. None of that violence and stuff that people think it is. It was a great time. I've been to Dubai probably 10 times. I've played baseball in Dubai with the Burj Khalifa, which is the tallest building in the world, like right down center field. Like the life over there was just fun.
It's interesting. I you know, you always get certain images of the Middle East because of, you know, what we learn and what we know about, yeah, you know, countries that are always at war, et cetera, but, you know, yeah, not everywhere over there's like that, obviously.
Not at all.
Kind of along those lines that, you know, Kyle was referencing just a moment ago, and just the way it benefited you to have that military background. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because yes, it presented the challenges from your football career, but I'm sure that it paid off in the way that you were just describing to Kyle and more.
Yeah, you know, just from my parents' standpoint, both of my parents, not together, but both retired active duty military, both 20 years plus. So a structure from, you know, like coming into football, that schedule thing, that's something I've been used to since I can remember, and dealing with adversity, you know. It's kind of like just transferring, you know, to, for a year I might have a friend and then they're gone and I have another friend for 2 years. So it all kind of like, it all rolls into what I've been doing my whole life, you know, being away at school. I've lived away from both of my parents for long periods of time. Like I've done it all.
What branch of the service your parents serve in?
Both Navy.
So what was that like for you when we played the midshipmen? Just another game, or did it have more meaning to you?
As long as I would always tell my mom, and she always, you know, she always made it a point that she was rooting for the Pirates on that day.
Gotcha. Yeah. But every other day she'd be rooting for Navy.
Yeah, any other day it's go Navy. Any other day.
Okay. She got to see you beat them one time.
Yeah, she did. She was actually at that game. She did get recognized. They asked, ECU did a special for her one time because she did her commencement for officer in Dowdy-Ficklin on the field. So that was pretty cool, and they kind of recognized her for that. So
which game was that?
I want to say it was the 2020 season. It was UCF game, the first game.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So 2018 to 2022 were obviously the years that you spent as part of the East Carolina program. Tell us about that recruitment under the previous regime and then the transition, because obviously now, you know, the Pirates have a lot of new pieces coming into the program, new offensive staff. Mm-hmm. And kind of that's something that you went through after your redshirt season.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, I came in under the Montgomery staff, and, you know, it was, I had that staff for every bit of five, six months. And then you roll in Mike Houston. And it was just something that we had to accept. Like, it's either you're going to get with their script and their plan, and, you know, they've had success, and, or you could get out of there. But, you know, I stuck it through. I believed in, you know, whatever Coach Houston had going on. It was hard, I promise. Anybody that came in with me will tell you it was rough. It was, some days we would just be like, you know what, this is it. But stuck it through. It ended up going well for all of us, especially me, my last couple seasons. So, yeah, it was a big change, but it was worth it.
How'd you like playing for Coach Shank?
I love Coach Shank. I talk to him daily, all the time. I was just down in Greenville, as I'm down there all the time. But I love Coach Shank. He's a great coach, great guy, but just all around a great person. He's hard for some people to deal with, but I understand him. He's understood me since the time that he walked in the building. So, you know, I couldn't have asked for a better coach.
One of the things that you've had to overcome was certainly injuries, or you know, tell us about that situation, you know, from a health standpoint, and the way you were able to overcome that and you know, become a team captain and the contributor that you were.
Yeah, so my injury was a lower back injury. It was honestly an injury where they told me that any doctor really was saying that, you know, let ECU pay for your degree and you go on about the rest of your life. And it was just something that I never believed that for one second. And I was, at that point, I felt like, you know, I'm very strong in my faith. And I was like, you know, this is a test from God, and he wants to see how hard that I can prevail, and, you know, what lengths I'll go to, you know, get back to doing what I love. And that, I felt like at that point I was taking the game for granted. And after that, you know, I sat out for a year, hard work, a lot of PT, a lot of training, a lot of pain and suffering. And I just took it. I was like, you know what, I'm never going to put myself in that point again. So I just came back harder than ever, and it worked out for me.
Noah, how excited are you about your opportunity in the USL? You get to reunite with, you know, Isaiah, Holton, et cetera. You know, I asked Zay previously about playing for Bob Stoops. Does that mean anything to you? You know, I don't know how much Oklahoma football you were watching over in the Middle East.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm excited. I love playing with Holt. As I've, you know, me and Holt came in together, and I tell him all the time, like, it feels like I just can't get away from you, bro. It's like we played at ECU. We go to the Hula Bowl together. We go to the NFLPA Bowl together. And it's like, it's got to be meant to be that I'm always around you. But, you know, him, Zay, then you've got G-Mac, an older player that I had the opportunity to play with one year, who kind of really, like, he's somebody, you know, fresh out of high school, didn't have much technique, didn't know much of the game. He took me under his wing, showed me, you know, how to operate in college football, how to operate, you know, even coming as a man. So it's great to get back with him. And I don't know much about Bob Stoops, but I do know about, like, his legacy with Oklahoma and, you know, like, the powerhouse that he built with them. So it's going to be great to, you know, everybody wants to play for a winner.
Yeah, no doubt. And Bob Stoops did nothing but win during his time at Oklahoma. And, of course, the ties to East Carolina, would he hire, you know, him hiring Lincoln Riley away from Ruffin while he, you know, to be his OC, Lincoln becomes head coach when Bob retires. And so there's some ties there. But, yeah, looking forward to, you know, so many of you guys on the same team there.
Yeah.
Makes it easy for the East Carolina fans to adopt the UFL team.
Exactly. ECU should only have one UFL team. I know we love CJ, we love Jay Red, but, you know, we're kind of strong over there, so you got to root for us.
Yeah, get your Arlington Renegades apparel.
Exactly.
So coming out of East Carolina last spring, you did have the opportunity, you know, to sign as an undrafted free agent with the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that experience.
It was a great experience, very surreal. Didn't really hit me until I got into Buffalo, but, you know, great experience. I felt like, you know, all the hard work and dedication paid off. You never really feel like, you know, you're one of those guys until, like, you're in that locker room, and I'm in the position room with guys like Deion Dawkins, who's a pro bowler and things like that. So it was a great time, you know. Little things happened, a few things happened where I didn't get to stick around, but it was a great experience, and I'm glad I had that so that when I get back, you know, I've got a few things under my belt to know what to do and how to stick around.
What were some of those things that you were, you know, able to put in your tool belt, so to speak, and those learning experiences that you'll be able to draw on?
Just like Tig was saying earlier, you know, just how everyone prepares. Everybody at that level prepares like a professional, and you can tell, like, there's a reason that they make the millions and millions of dollars and that they play 10-plus years in the NFL, you know, just the way they do every little thing and how they take care of their body and what they eat and how they watch film and what attention to detail. It's like they're doing all these things, and these are things that in college everybody's telling you, do this, and these men are doing it on their own 24/7. So, as you know, it's something you learn that if you want to be there, you'll do what it takes to be there.
What do you think within the last few weeks when they were having their game postponed or a day or two because of the extreme weather up there in Buffalo? And it's pretty crazy to see them because of how much snow they had in the stadium.
Yeah.
Letting fans sit wherever they could clear a spot.
Yeah, it's they warned us about that, you know, coming in, all the rookies and stuff. That's all they talked about was, you know, prepare for the winter. I was already prepared to go buy a big truck anyway, a big Southern guy like myself. I was already going to get my big 4x4, but yeah, it was pretty cool to see what they did, but I expected it because, I mean, unless you've been up in that area, like, that area really loves Bills football, and that is all they really care about. They will do whatever it takes for the Bills. There's people that live like 2 feet away from the stadium, and they live and die Bills football. So it was expected.
Yeah, seen some pretty crazy videos down through the years on social media with the Bills Mafia and so mm-hmm. forth. And looks like it would be a fun atmosphere, kind of a bucket list type thing, and more of a college like atmosphere than some places that you would find in the NFL. I've always heard that you know, Green Bay is kind of that way, more of a college like atmosphere.
Yeah, most definitely. It's crazy because it was sort of like, you know, there's so many North Carolina and like ECU ties and Buffalo. But yeah, it gives you like a college town vibe. Like, you, when you're out in Buffalo, they treat you like it's just like you're a star, just like you are in Greenville. It's kind of the same thing.
Well, I would imagine, you know, I don't have the population in front of me, but I would imagine Buffalo is one of the smaller cities that has a NFL franchise.
Yeah, for sure. Not much out there either.
What's the best place you found for wings in Buffalo?
They took us to one spot. I'm really not sure what it is. All the rookies, we went to a Buffalo wing spot. I'm not really a Buffalo. I love wings, but I'm not really a Buffalo wing kind of guy. So everybody was on me about that. But
so, what kind of wings you like? You like just plain fried wings? Or you like onion pepper?
I like barbecue. I like I'm really big on like a honey lemon pepper or honey. Down in Virginia, we have, it's really big, honey obey. things like that, or like
honey Obey. Okay, yeah. So you they combine the Obey seasoning with honey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've never had that. That sounds good. It's a little different. I can kind of picture it and kind of yeah.
It sounds different when you think about it, but it's a great one.
No, I can see it working. Do you get into the hot honey, the hot honey?
I like hot honey. Yeah, I like to have a little kick, but I also like a little, you know, like to enjoy my food as well.
Yeah, exactly.
The honey brings it in.
Yeah, you want some heat, but you don't want it to the point where it's just burning your tongue.
Yeah,
exactly.
Before we transition to a different topic, I believe you guys last year, didn't y'all have a deal, the O lineman that is, with Wings Over Greenville?
Mm-hmm. I had reached out. Well, they had reached out to me about, you know, just something with the guys, and we came up with something with Wings Over, and yeah, they took care of us very well.
So I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but just off memory, what's the most wings that you and your teammates killed?
I remember exactly when it is. It was right before Birmingham Bowl. We had a Christmas get together because, you know, it's part of when you're winning, you lose your holiday. So we had a Christmas get together, ugly sweater, you know, thing. And I want to say that the O-line room, we hit them up. We were like, hey, it's all of us. We need some wings and some fries and some drinks for the guys. I want to say we ate in that room close to 400 wings.
And how many guys?
I want to say might have been the whole. I don't think everybody in the room was there, but it might have been
12 10, to 15.
Yeah, somewhere around there. But 400 wings, and it wasn't like it took us a long time. It was because I remember I got there late. I don't know what I was thinking, you know, showing up late. And I was like, there's no way all of these are almost gone.
So 12 to 15 guys, 400 wings. That's what is that, about 30 wings per guy?
Whatever it is, we ate a lot.
My wife is a teacher. She's 26. I don't know how she knows that, because we're not sure if it's 12 or 15, but apparently she was serving you guys that night, 26 wings.
Yeah. It was about, I know it was minimum, because we told him, we did the math, like, we're like, if everybody comes and everybody gets 10, then we'll know, like, we need more than 350. So we were like, we know we need more than 350 wings.
Yeah.
And he showed up with pans and pans, and we left nothing.
Hey, and you talk about showing up late. If you'd have shown up late and you didn't have anything left after you're the one that set it up,
oh my God, yeah.
Your teammates would have been catching some.
They would have heard it from me. Yeah. Definitely.
Good stuff. A good family friend of ours that played at East Carolina way back in the 70s, they would go out to Parker's Barbecue, and he told us the story that he and his teammates, they got cut off.
It must have been Tony Collins, Bob. Was it Tony Collins?
No. It's yeah.
He hates Parker's.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
We had a nice little deal with Parker's, too. They fed us.
So you what did you stand on Eastern North Carolina barbecue?
I'm not the biggest fan of North Carolina barbecue. I will say that.
Really? Do you like any better than other? Like Parker's, Bee's, Sam Jones?
I like Parker's. I love Parker's.
Okay. Okay. Did you ever try Bee's?
No, I never went to Bee's.
But you know what?
So good that they don't even have a telephone, because you know they've just built their business through reputation and word of mouth, and they don't even need to get a phone.
They barely have a building,
but I never went.
They barely have a building. I mean, it's a dump, but it is excellent.
That's good. I'll be in Greenville next week. I'll make sure I go check it out.
Yeah, hit them up at lunchtime. Once they sell out, they sell out. I'd get there about, if you can, get there about 11:30.
Wow. I never knew it took all that.
Yeah. You know where it is, out near the hospital.
Okay, gotcha. I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's Kyle, it's Bee's Barbecue Road.
Barbecue Road, yeah, right off of,
it's like 43? You're going out to Ironwood Country Club.
Yeah, 43.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But yeah, that family friend of mine, they got cut off. They said no more barbecue. They can have all the hush puppies and sweet tea they want, but no more barbecue.
Yeah, I understand it. We've done it a few places. They kind of give us that look like, okay, y'all, are you guys done eating? Like, hey, you told us to come.
Good stuff. But, you know, we mentioned this today. I know the season, the actual games start the final weekend of March and mm-hmm. runs through the first weekend of June. And then, of course, you have the playoffs. But give Pirate Nation a little snapshot, a glimpse at what you're doing right now to prepare as far as lifting, running, and those sorts of things, and when you have to be where.
So right now, really for the past, I've really been training hard the past couple months, but I've been training ever since late August because, you know, I did find out that in, I want to say June, like not too long after I was released from Buffalo, the Arlington Renegades had acquired the rights to me. So I was kind of stuck with, like, if I don't end up back in the league within the season or on a practice squad, like, whenever they figure all that out, I'm going to end up in Arlington. So I've always been prepared, like, you know. So, but right now I'm working out 3-4 times a week, physical therapy, you know, just taking care of my body and all that. And we do report the end of February. So from there we got camp. I think they say we run a few scrimmages and things like that. But other than that, season starts March 30th. We play the first game.
What's your quickly? I don't know if Bubba's hitting you with a 2-minute drill or not, but what is your favorite? Give me your favorite game you played while you were a Pirate.
My favorite game that I played, would it be one that I've been at as a Pirate or played in?
Either way, you want to go. Or both.
I'll say both because I was there my freshman year when we beat Chapel Hill. That's one of the top ones on my list. And played in for me, I want to say Memphis 2020. Would that be 2021? When we became
bowl eligible.
Bowl eligible.
At Memphis, yeah.
That was, you know, that one was a real tearjerker. That was that one hit home for a lot of us.
We probably ran for, what, 250, 300 yards that day.
Yeah, I had a great game, you know. We played great as a team. We fought hard until the end, and it just felt like, you know, all those years of losing seasons and, like, it all just became so real that now we're on the verge of, you know, now we're going to a bowl game. Now we can keep playing and we keep winning because we turned around the next week and we beat Navy. So it was just like, yeah, that might be it.
No, if you're ready, we'll go ahead and go to the 2-minute drill, as Kyle said. You know, going back to your childhood, favorite NFL team?
Cowboys, America's team.
Favorite NFL player?
Trent Williams.
Favorite football movie?
Blindside.
Favorite hobby outside of football?
Anything outdoors, hunting, ATVs, fishing, all that stuff.
Three favorite music artists?
Drake, Morgan Wallen. Lil Wayne.
Drake, Morgan Wallen, and Lil Wayne. Okay. What's your favorite Morgan Wallen song?
That's a good one. Let me.
That's all right. We can move on.
Sand in My Boots.
That's a good one.
Favorite place to eat in Greenville?
Cubbies.
Obviously, this next question, you're much more traveled than the average college football player, but three places you've never been that you would love to go to.
Yeah, that is hard. I think I want to go a lot of places as an adult, though. I think that would be the thing. Because, you know, I've been a lot of places when I was younger. So I would say Maldives, Thailand, and I've been there, but I want to go back as an adult. I want to go to Paris.
If you could travel back in time, what era would you visit and why? A decade or something.
I would go back to the 90s. It just seemed like a boom in time in the world. You know, I love that style.
Bubba, we're old. We're old, Bubba. God damn it.
I just, you know, watching movies and watching TV, and, you know, hearing everybody talk about their time, it just seemed like, you know, that was just a great time.
It had its moments. It was a much simpler time. It really was. Even the early 2000s, man. It's so much has changed in the last, you know, really 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, I think back to, like Kyle's saying, you know, we're dating ourselves here, but I guess it was, about halfway through high school that, as far as, you know, students actually having a cell phone, that really became a thing, and still not a ton did. And of course, it was very basic, but you still thought you're cool because you had a cell phone.
Yeah. God, I remember my mama's first cell phone was a bag phone. do you know what a bag phone is, Noah?
No. Is that the one that actually looks like a real home, like a house phone, the big one? That you had to carry around?
It more complex than that. It was in a bag. It was actually in a bag. You put it in you carried it in your car, or you could take it in your house, and it was in a bag, and you unzipped the bag, and it was ridiculous. But it was the best. At the time, cell towers were limited.
Yeah.
So, but that thing, this antenna was so massive, it was the best way to get good reception on a, you know, anywhere you were. Because back then with the big phones, or the early days of flip phones, your reception might have been horrible. So yeah, to get the good reception, you had to have the bag phones and something else, some more stuff from the 90s that you'd have to get used to with your cell phones, is every minute cost.
Oh yeah.
Until after 9 o'clock. And then after 9 o'clock, you got the free night calls. So everybody would wait until after 9 o'clock to use your cell phone.
Yeah, I've heard about that for sure.
Yeah.
And I remember, Kyle, I guess, and this was even right when I was graduating college, or shortly a year or two after, you know, every, I guess about 15 years ago, every text message was 10 cents.
Yeah, those costed too.
Yeah, it depended on your plan. But yeah, for a while, when we were doing numeric texting, early 2000s, yeah, they unless you had it in your plan, yeah, they would charge you a little bit for each text you sent.
Yeah, I do remember that, being younger, and it was, you know, those little phones everybody had. I had like a track phone or whatever, and my mom used to tell me, like, hey, this is for emergency. Don't just text me on this phone just to text me. And they don't, like now, where everybody's got, you know, unlimited text and call.
Yeah.
You're like, Ma, I love you.
Yeah, she didn't even want that.
No, a few more for you. Favorite snack food.
My favorite snack, Oreos.
Straight up original Oreos, or you like any of the variations?
Original double stuff.
Man, I love the mint Oreos.
No, that is disgusting.
I used to be the same way with mint and chocolate. It always reminded me of eating chocolate after you brush your teeth.
Exactly.
But I'm telling you, you're a lot younger than me. Bubba's slightly younger than me. When you get a certain age, you know, in your 40s, you suddenly start liking it. I don't know why. There's just certain stuff. Bubba hadn't hit that maturity level yet, is what it is. But I'm there. Yeah. I'm 43, and I love mint and chocolate together now.
I'm in no rush. I'm in no rush.
I used to be exactly like
my immaturity with not liking mint Oreos.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's. I'm telling you, I'm not lying. I hated it when I was younger too. Thought it was disgusting.
An acquired taste, huh?
Yeah. Yep. I don't need that one.
What motivates you the most?
Family, my son. My son, most definitely. That's my rock. That's my world. That's, you know, that's the reason I wake up. I have a message on my phone I see every day because I know I have to look at it. You know, it's be the best father and, you know, be there for him. So that's what keeps me going.
And do you have a favorite quote?
I have a favorite quote. Yeah, I have two. I have one that's tatted on me on my arm. It says, "Don't pray and worry, pray and work." And another one that I live by every day is control the controllable.
Good words there. And we have William Landon chiming in on YouTube saying, "Noel, what's up, big dog? Who were some of the toughest defensive ends that you played against during your time at ECU?"
Toughest defensive ends that I played against. Can't remember his name. Big long kid from Cincinnati, number 21. He was a hassle. He was four quarters to the whistle. He made it rough. That would be it. Him, I'm trying to think. We didn't really play against a lot of like star power ends. We played a lot of interior guys. Like we had to run across guys like Ed Oliver and things like that.
Let's see. Justin Butts just also chimed in and said, "Can't wait to see them guys play in Arlington." I appreciate that, Justin.
And sure, appreciate it.
Michelle also saying, "What's up, boys from the Queen City of Charlotte, North Carolina?"
Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm ready. Ready to get going. Ready to get going with the guys.
Well, really appreciate the visit tonight, Noah. Appreciate a half an hour of your time. And we'll keep an eye on how things are going down in Arlington. And we'd love to have you back on down the road.
Gotcha. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Thank you.
For sure.
That is former East Carolina offensive tackle Noah Henderson, as we've mentioned a few times, and he, Garrett McGinn, Isaiah Winstead, and East Carolina's all-time leading passer, Holton Ahlers, will be with the Arlington Renegades, you know, here in just the next few weeks.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Hopefully all those guys will be starting. If that wouldn't that be something, if all those guys you know, Holton beats out the incumbent starter there, and all those guys are starting, and we could really get behind the Arlington Renegades, kind of adopt them as Greenville and East Carolina Pirate Nation's UFL, USFL, XFL, whatever the hell they want to call themselves team. Alphabet soup.
Kind of sticking with the football theme, I'm not sure if you saw this quote, post from Justin Hardy. I believe it was on his Facebook account, but he said, I can't wait to be back in Greenville for the spring game this year. Pirate Nation, stay tuned for a special announcement. So we'll see if that's an event surrounding the spring game or maybe something more. We shall see. But
Justin Hardy is bringing Bon Jovi to Dottie Ficklin Stadium for post spring. Dave has set it up with Justin. You know, Dave's dream of having Bon Jovi for a post spring game with Dottie Ficklin.
Right.
Yeah.
As far as that spring game's concerned, we received word from Malcolm Gray today, and it was on ecupirates.com, the 39th annual Great Pirate Purple Gold Pigskin Pig Out Party, sponsored by Piggly Wiggly, is going to be April 12th and 13th. Family oriented festival style event. You know, as it has traditionally been, you know, obviously there's been a few years here and there where it has not taken place, but by and large, you know, this has been something that has taken place, you know, fairly regularly since back in, I guess, is 84, maybe.
Yeah. Is it going to be? Look, for the love of God, will the people at Pirate Fest and the Great Pirate Purple and Gold Pigskin Pig Out Party, presented by Piggly Wiggly, get together and do it on the same weekend? Do we have that this year? Do we know?
I'm not sure if that, if that overlap exists. I'll see if we can dig that up before we finish tonight's show. But I do know that we have the overlap that I always want, and that is Pirate Baseball on the same weekend. You have ECU taking on Charlotte, a three-game set with the 49ers.
Good timing with Charlotte coming to town.
Big conference series there with Charlotte, and they've certainly been a very good baseball program under Robert Woodard over the last few seasons. I think that will be a heck of a rivalry.
Yeah, you don't mind it in football, you don't mind it in baseball and basketball. Football, on the other hand, that rivalry we didn't want, and then they beat us. But don't mind it so much in basketball and baseball. Of course, the expectation is definitely to beat them in baseball also. But, it's one of those things where it just feels different in those sports than it does football. For obvious reasons.
Right. Other scheduled activities for that weekend include the annual Pirate Club Golf Tournament at Brook Valley Country Club, sponsored by Blizzard Contract Flooring. And then you also have Pig Out Your Ride Car Show, Vendor Palooza, Touch Arg Truck Event.
What the hell is that?
And a meet and greet with head coach Mike Houston and, of course, the 2024 Pirates.
What is the Touch Arg Truck Event?
I'll see if I can find more about that. I don't know if it's just a truck show or what all that entails. But it says, obviously, the centerpiece of the festivities, the Purple Gold Spring Game, 11 o'clock kickoff on Saturday the 13th. Admission will be free, and the fans will be allowed on Bagwell Field at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium following the conclusion of the game. John Gilbert said, "We're excited about getting Pirate Nation together again for the Purple and Gold Spring Game and all the activities we have planned throughout the weekend. We'll have live entertainment, barbecue, football, and an opportunity for our fans to meet the 2024 football team." So that Eastern North Carolina barbecue in all those sides that you're familiar with says $12 for a single plate, $25 for a tailgate package, and $90 for a 4-gallon bucket. It says all barbecue options can be pre-ordered by calling the ECU Athletics ticket office at 252-737-4500.
Yeah, my dog has decided she really wants to play with her squeaky toy, so I've been leaving myself on mute here. I'm going to get her a gallon, a 4-gallon bucket of barbecue. But looking forward to that. I'm going to just mute myself.
See how long that lasts.
I think I'm going to just mute. I might need to stay on mute. But looking forward to the Great Pirate Purple Gold Pigskin Pig Out Party in the spring game, and would like to see it get back to the level it used to be at. I don't know if it ever will. But back in the day when you had the wet t-shirt contest and all the carnival rides and et cetera, it'd be nice to see it get back to that level.
And one of the big events going on is, of course, the pig cooking contest. Cooker registrations now open, and individuals and teams that are interested in that are encouraged to go ahead and register early. There are only 30 cooking slots. An entry fee of $200 does apply, and that has been established, obviously per chef. It says cooks with varying levels of experience can choose which category to compete in. You have the gold, which is the serious, more experienced level, purple, which is more casual or novice, and while all entrants will have the opportunity to place in the showmanship category. So there you have it, and we'll put this information on our Facebook page and then also our other social media. And they'll have the link for the ECU Pirate Club Golf Classic that once again will be taking place on Friday, 7:30 start at Brook Valley Country Club. And so the schedule for Friday, you have the golf tournament, the pig cooking venue opens up. That's the north side and the upper deck side of Dowdy Ficklin. The cooks meeting at 5 o'clock that day, first pitch against Charlotte at 6. The parade of pigs, which is always a big deal, there at gate 10 of the football stadium, 7:30, showsmanship judging, and then 9 o'clock, Dowdy Ficklin Stadium will be closed for the evening. So make sure you mark your calendar for April 12th and 13th. A lot going on that weekend in G Vegas.
Yeah, no doubt. Looking forward to it. Should be a big time in Greenville for spring football, the barbecue cook-off, and a big baseball series.
Let's see. I made some other notes, some things to discuss tonight. Kind of shifting gears pretty extremely. Mike Martin, the legendary Florida State baseball coach that took the Seminoles to, I don't recall exactly, probably at least 22 or 23 College World Series, if I'm not mistaken. But countless trips to Omaha. It just came up shy time and again, but such a legend there with the Seminoles baseball program. Unfortunately, we lost him today at the age of 79.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. 79 years old. By today's standards, maybe a little young, but what a full life he lived. Multiple trips to Omaha, had a lot of influence on a lot of young men's life. It made you 79 years old. A lot of people aren't that lucky. So tough loss for his family, all his former players, friends. Big loss for the baseball community, but 79 years, and he did a lot in those 79 years. So grieve for his family, but, also something to be celebrated.
Justin Butts chiming in regarding the topic of discussion with the Touch Arg truck or whatever the exact title is, and he said it's a truck show, as I thought. And
but what a Touch Arg truck makes me think it's going to be one of those contests where everybody puts their hand on a freaking truck and then whoever is up there last wins the truck. I don't understand the name Touch Arg truck.
Enlighten us more, Justin, if you have more information on that. And he says, I heard there will be a Sports Objective wet t-shirt contest.
Well, God dang, Justin, we're gonna have a sport. You mean we're gonna be sponsoring or we're gonna be participating? Because if we're participating, I got the biggest boobs. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm a straight up winner. I mean, that's just
no contest. The pig out has been canceled for 2024.
Yeah. I mean, if we're sponsoring it, then I can get behind that. We can get some young ladies to participate. We can do it. Can we, Bubba? Let's do it. Let's sponsor a wet t-shirt contest. Let's get together. Let's get some of the young ladies on campus, and we'll do an old school wet t-shirt contest. I'm sure the university will love it.
Justin said it's where kids can go and climb in trucks.
The wet t-shirt contest?
The Touch R
truck. Oh, okay. It's where kids can go climb in trucks. Well, that's cool. It's going to be like monster trucks or semi trucks or just people with their pickup trucks going to let youngins climb in them.
I would guess the monster truck variety, but
I can see it being semis also. I don't know. I got a Nissan Frontier. If a youngin wants to get in the back of it, sure, I'll pop that. They can. That's fine.
Josh says, Justin says, I'll sponsor. Y'all can compete.
It'll be if we're competing. I mean, it's just straight up upset. I mean, it's a win. I mean, it's me all the way. If you're going for straight size of breast, now if you're looking for pectoral muscles, then Bubba or Matt may take the show. But if going for boob size, I'm your winner. Do I get extra points for my hernia, kind of like a third boob, like that chicken Total Recall?
Justin says fire trucks, 18-wheelers, ambulances.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Kids will love that, actually. I made a lot of jokes about it, but that concept will be great for children, actually, and a very inexpensive thing for children to have. Doesn't cost a lot of money to do that, is what I'm trying to say. And, kids will love that, so that's actually a good idea.
Yeah, down through the years, whether it's in Kannapolis or in Lexington, I've taken part in my dad with his promotional items business, has provided many products for these events and then National Night Out.
Yeah.
With police and fire personnel. So that always is a big hit. So I think that will be a nice addition or perhaps continuation if that is something that had been done before with the Great Pirate Purple Gold Pigskin Pig Out Party. And Kyle, that's what Justin was talking. I know here in the last few days, you can tell me, I know it's the one that your wife teaches at, but they took the football equipment truck to a local elementary school, and you know, the kids got a big kick out of that.
The one my wife teaches at?
No, Justin's wife.
Oh, I got about to say, I had no idea what the hell you were talking about. Yeah, she would neglect it to tell me. Right. Seemed like she would have let me know that with the ECU equipment truck was going to be there. But, yeah, so Justin, you got any more details on that you can put down in the comment section? And can you take it to my wife's elementary school?
I think that would probably be very much a possibility. He said, yes, we did. Wayne Christian here in Goldsboro.
Okay, that's cool. So did the kids get to tour the truck? What did they do? Was it one of those situations where they got to go inside the truck or, you know, just look at it? Or?
And he said, be glad to bring it to Jessica's school.
All right.
So that'd be a cool experience for the kids and hopefully develop some young Pirate fans. And he did say he was laughing about it. Justin, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was second grade. He said a little second grader walked up to him and said, how many games did y'all win?
Yeah, I would have lied. what season? You know, last season's over just like any other season. Give them the results from the 91 season. Say back 91, we won 11.
Yeah. So I'd have said last year we won 8. Let's see. He said second grade and kindergarten. So.
Hey, yeah. Well, my wife teaches second grade, so we might have to set that up.
I think that's about all I had. You know, we'll be talking in the next few days a lot of East Carolina baseball. Today being Thursday, February the 1st, 5 days from now, next Tuesday, we will have our annual visit with Mike Rooney of D1 Baseball. Of course, we'll talk the Pirates. We'll talk about the American. We'll discuss all the excellent teams we have around the region, you know, with 5 North Carolina teams in the top 15. But then you also have Clemson, I believe South Carolina, probably Coastal.
UVA, probably.
Yeah, UVA. I mean, in a 3-state area, you have probably at least 9-10 teams out of the top 25. And it just gets better and better each year. And it makes, because you haven't even mentioned programs like Campbell that are so good, UNC Wilmington, it makes the non-conference scheduling very easy.
Yeah, it does. A lot of good baseball in this area. In the American, this is one sport where the conference took a little bit of an uptick. Baseball will be better in the American with the additions of Charlotte. You got Rice, traditional powerhouse, been down recently, but you bring in a lot of tradition with Rice. Florida Atlantic has had good baseball in recent years. Who am I leaving out, Bubba? I know it seems like I'm leaving out somebody that's pretty good that's joining the league. Charlotte.
You named Rice, Florida Atlantic.
Charlotte. Maybe it's not as improved as I thought. But
yeah, well, UTSA has largely struggled, but last year they were very good and made the
Yeah, team. That's right. Good point. Good point.
Yep. But
It should be a more competitive league. You figure at some point Tulane's going to come back to prominence in baseball. So the league should be more competitive than the last few years is what I'm trying to say overall.
And kind of an interesting nugget on that note, I'm trying to remember if we have 8 or 9 conference series, but at least 5 of our league series are against those new teams. So you know, it'll be refreshing from that standpoint. In addition to challenging for the coaching staff, preparing for new opponents, but definitely some a new look to the schedule.
Yeah, no doubt, and some of the same opponents, obviously, with the likes of Memphis and Wichita, et cetera. But the schedule's going to look a little different this year. So that'll be fun. It'll be fun to play Rice again. You know, we were playing Rice before. They were the gold standard, and their program has fallen so far. But still, when you hear Rice baseball, you immediately think of big time baseball, despite how bad they've been recently.
Yeah, you do, and all the success that Wayne Graham had there, because that program had been very mediocre at best prior to his arrival, and then after he's gone, has struggled immensely. But they do appear to be slowly on their way back up.
This day and age of NIL,
respectability.
In this day and age of NIL, and what Wake Forest is doing and Vanderbilt's doing with, being able to bend the rules, being a private school, you would think Rice would thrive in this environment. So it's kind of interesting that they've gone the other way.
Yeah, it is. I certainly did not envision such a drop-off happening, but I believe that they have an alum. I'm trying to remember his name. I believe they have an alum at the helm of the program now, and things do appear to be trending back in the right direction.
I believe UTSA head coach is a former Wayne Graham assistant.
I think you're right about that. And obviously, the Pirates and UAB, East Carolina's back in the Billy Godwin era, been to Birmingham a lot for league series, and UAB has largely struggled, and every now and then they'll have a good team, but and FAU has been in the top 25 at times, and top 30 depending on the poll in recent years. I think that will pretty much do it for this edition of the show. I don't think there's anything else, but be sure to visit edwatkinsmarine.com. I appreciate Big Ed's support of the show. They can meet all of your boating needs, whether it's providing you with a new boat or repowering your existing boat. They can be found in the greater Charlotte area, 2 locations to serve you. Denver, North Carolina, on North Carolina Highway 16 Business. Also in Cornelius, West Catawba Avenue, Suite B. They have fishing boats, center consoles, family-friendly bow riders, trailers, pontoon boats, engines, UTVs, you name it. As I said, they can meet any and all of your boating needs. Also, Pirate Nation, be sure, if you'd like to support NIL as it pertains to East Carolina baseball, go to the 23club.org. That is in partnership with Team Boneyard. That is being run by Mike Carrington and several former East Carolina baseball players. Appreciate them doing that. And I know that will really pay dividends as you have the 11.7 scholarships. Hopefully we can raise enough money where in essence, you would have your entire roster eventually, basically getting a full ride, whether they choose to put that money toward their tuition or if they choose to use the money elsewhere is certainly
their
personal decision. But go ahead.
Hey, I'm going to make a suggestion to the 23 Club here if they want to raise some extra money. That's a badass logo. Put that on some purple and some black t-shirts and hats and sell the piss out of them. That is a badass logo.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of people on hoistthecolors.net were already clamoring for exactly what you're saying, shirts, hoodies, hats, and everything with that logo.
Yeah, that's a definite way they can make extra money. And if they want to make it where you have to be a member to buy it, that's certainly understandable. But that you're missing an opportunity to raise more money if you don't do that. That is a really good logo. Whoever designed that, good job.
Yeah, very well done there. And also, kind of along the lines of our sponsor, Ed Watkins Marine, they are the title sponsor for Coach C's show, Absolute Empowerment, each and every Monday night. Mickey Marotti, the head strength and conditioning coach or assistant AD for football sports performance, is his official title at Ohio State University. Had an excellent chat with the Buckeye strength coach. They go back to their days when he was at East Carolina in the 90s and Mickey was at Cincinnati on Rick Minner's staff. So definitely check out that conversation. If you've watched the Netflix series Swamp Kings, they reference Swamp Kings and those winter workouts and mat drills. We're going to provide that clip for you, but go check out that entire conversation. And also Coach C's conversation with Tim Swords, an East Carolina football alum from the Pat Dye era. Pretty neat story that I posted today. A little 3-minute clip talking about Tim walking in the Scales Fieldhouse back there in the mid-70s. And Bear Bryant was on campus there in Pat Dye's office. And he told his story of meeting Bear Bryant and what the Bear had to say to him as far as, you know, anything you do, you need to do it with passion. So excellent conversations with Mickey Marotti and also Tim Swords, East Carolina football letter winner.
Yeah, no doubt.
But that will do it for this edition of the show. Be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube. When you subscribe, click that notification bell and also all. And on social media, we can be found on X at the Sports OBJ, on Twitter, excuse me, on Instagram, and then TikTok. We're at the Sports Objective. Like and follow us on Facebook as well. But for Kyle Barber, Noah Henderson, Isaiah Winstead, and the absent Dave Richmond and Matt Semenza, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to the Sports Objective. We'll talk to you soon. And as always, go Pirates.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.